I'm just going to say it right out front. For me, I'm the Joey of the week this week for this episode. I completely messed up the audio. Apologies up front. There's some sort of echo in there. I don't know what happened. It was my week for podcasting and I screwed it up. Hopefully it's still a little bit listenable. If not, let's just have this be the episode that flies into the unknown, because I'm venturing into the unknown. Paul is the senior podcaster. I am the junior, and I'm still learning, so he's the expert. But right now we're on opposite sides of the world. Scheduling is tough. I don't want to do it, and he doesn't want to do it at like 3 or 4 a.m. So he had his episode last week all to himself with Mike Levy as a guest, which was a delight. And they ended on a big cliffhanger, a big secret about Mike, which was exposed in last week's comments.
It's last week's comments.
All right. Number one comment. Adventures on a $700 hardtail. She gave it away. She says, Mike's three empathetic comments relating to testicles lead me to believe that he's carrying around an extra large coin purse. Cha-ching. She said cha-ching. I didn't say cha-ching. I'm just reading what she said. But yes, in the mountain biking industry, just like the third ball thing with the brake levers all the way up, these are secrets that the industry people carry around. So there's that. Hey, that's what you came here for. That's all you get. Okay, bye. Now, moving on, our friend Slow RVR said, hey, this is a great episode. It's nice to hear longer format videos like this from Levy, other than the like typical pink bike videos, which I guess pink bike actually talks about mountain biking, and we don't. So there's that. Chris Rides Bike says, thanks for the Joey of the Week nod, Paul. And you did a great job by yourself. There might be something there, just saying. And Chris, this episode this week is a testament to that. There is something there. And you are just saying, I agree. Teddy Lee, he said, you missed an opportunity on your golf channel name, Paul. Paul the Putter is obviously so much better. And yes, I created Paul the Putter. I think we were talking with MTB Allen. I zoned out for a little bit because I created this account called Paul the Putter. I was going to troll Paul hard, but it turns out it takes a lot of work to make a troll channel, and I don't have the time, and I don't want to put in all the work for the troll channel. And I don't know that any troll channel will live up to Brian's crispy ass nuggets, which was probably the best troll channel out there to exist, but it's gone, got deleted. Maybe it offended Brian and he reported them, but I don't know. This episode this week, I had to think about who I wanted as a guest, because I'm not a huge talker, but I can if I really try and my interview skills aren't up to par. So I figured who has a great voice and who talks a lot. Top of mind comes my friend Joe, a.k.a. the Colorado Kid. Now, I didn't want to make his claim to fame all about how he grew up with Brian from BKXC, but we sat down and we got a little bit liquored up, and he might have exposed one of Brian's biggest secrets. So enjoy.
Mountain Bike Podcast, Mountain Biking Podcast, an MTB podcast about mountain biking. Bike podcast for search engine optimization.
And I'm thinking maybe you and I, we can just go at it hard. Okay, let's just start this whole thing off saying,
all right,
it's not going to be safe for work.
Fair enough. Podcast. Okay, good to know.
Not safe. NS, hashtag NSFW.
Yes.
Not safe for work. Not safe for home. Stay home. Listen to this without your kids around. You have, you can swear. You have permission. You can swear, you can take your clothes off. In fact, I thought this being like my alone episode without Paul to control everything, that I'd do as much as I can to upset him. So I'm going to do the whole original thing where I think we both just get sloshed.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Wait until he gets a load of me. He's going to be like, what the hell did you do to this podcast, Shane? Jesus Christ.
It's going to get worse as it goes, especially. So Irish whiskey of choice is Jameson.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's smooth. It's fresh out of the freezer.
Yes.
And I'm thinking if we just get super drunk, maybe while we're doing this podcast, things will sound like they're going really well, and then we'll listen to it afterwards. It's not going to be so well.
Maybe the level of incoherency will add some coherency. Is that what you're saying to me?
Exactly.
Yes.
Did you bring drinks for our
drinking
game?
That's a great question you posed, Shane, and absolutely. Now I have three options of choice, okay? One, and by the way, these are all Colorado whiskeys, okay? All Colorado whiskeys I picked up on the trip when I met you, okay? So one of which is Woody Creek Distillery. They are out of Basalt, close to Aspen, okay? That is one. It's a rye whiskey. I'm not leaning that way because my second option is a 291 right here, which is also a Colorado rye whiskey, which is one, for whatever reason, their whole bottle is just covered in awards. So that's a viable option on the table. And finally, which I'm leaning towards, because this is very close to your home, this is 10-year single barrel from Peach Street Distillery. And this is real close to your house. In fact, I went there after we rode. So that's probably what I'm going to drink tonight right here.
I have a bottle of that. I haven't opened it yet, though. But
I'm gonna open it right now.
I've got a little bit to finish of this. Maybe I'll open that one after that.
Saluters. I don't think people are prepared for me sober, let alone drunk. So this is gonna be an interesting concept.
Let's see. What cup are you pouring it into?
I've got a High West Distillery blown glass right
Dude,
here.
That's exactly I love right. High West.
High West is fantastic. I've been to the distillery.
Utah?
Huh?
Park City?
Yep, Utah? The one in the Park City. No, you know what? I actually went to the one in the farm. They have the farm up above, and they lease part of the property from this giant ranch, and it's beautiful. They do a beautiful brunch up there, and they serve a lot of whiskeys. Although, with Utah's rules, which are weird in every sense of the word, you can't call it a whiskey tasting. You have to call it a whiskey education.
Education. Because it's Utah. Oh.
Yeah, yes. So there's the 10-year. So pretty tasty from Peach Street Distillery. There you go. And for those of you that are listening and not watching, I am holding up a bottle of bourbon to the camera. And there you go. It's some brown liquid inside the glass.
Yes. I always have to remind myself that this is an audio podcast.
Yeah. This is the moment where we give some ASMR. You ready? What it is? Is it ASMR or S?
AM.
Ass to mouth? No. Okay. No. Wait. Here we go. Listen. You ready? Oh, baby.
Oh, mine too.
Good God, I could be recording a commercial right there.
How much should we pour? Do you see that?
Fantastic. Salute, amigo. Right up to the glass. Bam!
I'm drinking out of the special glass that, you know, unprofessional Kyle.
Oh, yeah.
Him and his wife, they gave me this glass. I know, it's like super conceited to have your own logo on your glass. Drinking out of a crashing dead glass.
It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Now, I will point out at this point in the podcast, he has yet to introduce me, and I'm a little disappointed because there is a long storied past, and it's just simply incredible. And now's your opportunity to do that.
Okay. Well,
you don't really have to do that. It's fine.
This is Joe, and he has. Dude, your last name is super weird.
The last name is. Everyone pronounces it Foft.
Foft?
But it is Foft.
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 Okay.
There are very few of us in the world.
All right. There's your introduction.
There. That's all you need. I am also known as the Colorado Kid, and welcome aboard. How are you guys doing? Welcome to your lowest rated podcast ever, because everyone will go, who the hell is this guy? And why should I listen to what the hell he's saying?
Well, take this moment to just this quick moment I'm going to give you for self-promotion.
Yes.
You said you're a great opportunity. Colorado Kid.
Yes. That was it. That's all I got. No, that's my name. It's just you know, everything. No,
how do we know each other?
Yeah. So how do we know each other? What is the story? That is a great point. I will get right into it. Okay. So the Colorado Kid, that's what I am. I have one of those, you know, you guys may have heard of this thing. It's called YouTube, and I have a very low subscriber count YouTube channel, and it's absolutely incredible. What it is self-deprecating humor all the way. It's whenever I ride with somebody, the goal is to make them look good and make me look bad.
Oh, and I love that. We ride together and it makes me feel so great. No.
Yes.
You're awesome. Okay. So everyone, Joe, the Colorado Kid, was an absolute blast to ride with. I think he just reached out to me like, hey, I'm going to be in Grand Junction. Let's ride.
Yeah. I think that's what I think a lot of people are just kind of hesitant to reach out to people. I think sometimes making connections is as simple as like proving one, you're not a weirdo, and two, just being able to just say, hey, man, like, what's up? I love what you do. Like, I'm coming in. I think I was kind of like, I think I was original leaning when I came to Colorado. The goal was to hit a lot of trails, and yours was the first stop in Grand Junction. And I was just like, it, obviously, you know the trail. So it's A, either you just give me some suggestions, or B, if you have the time, let's get together and ride, man. And it turned out to be one of the funnest rides ever because you and RC are absolutely hilarious. And you got to love when chemistry is built like that. That's really like when we talk about the, you know, the mountain bike community, it's sometimes like that's one of the best parts about all this is forming those like friendships. And I found that once you go on a ride with someone, like a short ride, 2 hour ride, whatever it is, ours turned out to be like 6 hours because we were screwing around with cameras and all that stuff. All right. But once, you know, once you do those rides, it's all of a sudden like you've kind of like now you've developed a friendship. Whereas before it was like, we text back and forth and things like that. But if you guys find like you ever find that like you ride with someone and all of a sudden, bam, something clicks, you know,
it's either that or it's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit apprehensive now. I've had a couple weird experiences with some people. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone reaches out, wants to ride. And if I have time, I'm always down for a ride. But there have been some weirdos like upset that I don't show up with a camera on my chest.
Yeah. Like,
that's not the only thing that makes me, dude. But no, you were fantastic. You have that awesome radio voice and you can talk a lot, which is the reason why I'm having you as my guest. So you can do most of the work tonight.
Thank you. I'm happy to do it. Like I said, we talked with RC the other day and him and I just ended up, he's like, maybe if you want to jump in for 5 or 10 minutes. And I literally kept him there for an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh my gosh. I didn't.
Suck it, RC.
I didn't catch that live stream. What did you guys talk about?
You know, we talked about all kinds of stuff. You know, one, it was like how good looking I was like a topic of discussion. You know, how funny I am. It was like, it was just a lot of that, you know?
You are good looking. Who cuts your hair, man? Are you going to a barber right now?
Yeah, there's a barber in Sac. You just got to wear masks and all that stuff.
So they're masking up. I've been cutting my hair by myself this whole time.
You're cutting your hair yourself?
Yeah.
That's impressive. Okay, never mind.
I mean, it's I've like got a long closet mirror in the back, and I don't know exactly what the line is, but I know I should be going back and supporting my barber, but I've developed this habit of shaving my own head. I guess I don't know. That's not a bad idea.
I mean, and none of us are going anywhere right now. Like realistically, what are we doing? We're going to the trails. Like I'm not going out dining all the time. Like, I generally don't do that anyways. And when people talk about like how this whole situation has affected us, like, I'm like, well, I mean, I'm still going out kayaking. I'm still going out biking. It's not like that. I'm kind of doing the things I want to do already. So it's like, it's not that crazy.
You're getting out a lot then.
Yeah. I mean, like within reason, right? Like I took the kids out fishing. We go a lake up here. We just go hang out by the lake and catch some trout. Like there's nobody around. Like it's quiet. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's awesome. It just got real cold here. So we're like, I've got to make an effort to get out. Is it not cold up in Sac right now?
It never gets very cold. Like at night, it's like 30 something. But like, you know, by the middle of the day, it's 60 degrees. It's California cold. You know what I mean?
I'm so
jealous. We're in Hero Dirt territory as we speak. Northern California right now is blanketed in Hero Dirt. It's absurd.
Everybody go. No, can't go. Everybody stay where you are. I don't want to make this about. Let's not talk about COVID.
No, let's not talk about COVID.
You know, we could talk about it, and let's not talk about religion or politics or
I don't know anything about either of those things anyways. I'd rather just talk about me.
Yeah, let's
and you and
let's talk about you.
We're doing a podcast.
So we rode together and I think I made a little video. I can't remember very well, but drink.
Salute.
I can't remember well because I'm already drunk. No, I'm not. But I recall you saying that if we got you to 1,000 subscribers, you'd shave a penis into your beard. How many?
I don't think there's any proof of that. Like, there's certainly no visual proof on some sort of public video service. No way.
It's in my video, and what were you at, like 300 subscribers or something at the time?
Isn't that funny?
You're pushing the 1,000, man.
Isn't that funny?
So you're gonna need to do a dick in the beard.
I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm not saying. It'll get weird looks from my kid. He'll be like, is that a penis?
You could do a dick just in the side part.
I'll commit. I'll commit to anything. All right. I'm not going to back out. All right.
Yeah. Take like an Instagram picture. And then the next day you could go goatee.
That's a funny story, isn't it? When I left for Colorado and the goal was to do this, it was called I had this really good concept. It was called the 50 state shred. Right. And I was going to hit every state. No, the goal is obviously the name's Colorado Kid, right? I lived in Denver for a couple years, and the goal was I always like, and it's funny because when I lived out there, I did not mountain bike, which is dumb. But when I originally came out there from California, I was like, well, now's a prime opportunity to learn how to snowboard. So I learned how to snowboard while I was out there. Then I moved to LA for a couple years and back to Sacramento, and I finally got back into mountain biking because of, guess who? Huh?
Where did you live in Colorado?
I lived outside Denver in the Highlands area.
So you had some good snowboarding places around.
Yeah. So I'd go to Winter Park all the time. I think I learned at Loveland. I went to Loveland, and you would get a cheap season pass with three lessons. That's what I did. That's how I first got into it. It was like three lessons and a season pass for dirt cheap.
Did you get good?
I got decent. I mean, I was like, it's just like I am at mountain biking. I'm pretty terrible, but I enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, I take joy out of the process.
Was your first time down the mountain? Did you fall on your ass a ton?
Oh, God. Yeah, still. Jesus. Yeah.
I mean, me too. I remember having that first experience and then my dad being like, oh, I want to try snowboarding. I told him, literally, put a pillow in your shorts. Not your shorts. Put a pillow in your snow pants. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, well, I don't care what it looks. You know, he's the dad with the white New Balance shoes that have green grass things. And he's just like, oh, I don't care. So he put the pillow in his butt and he fared pretty well.
By the way, that's how I got to be prom king, by the way. I just, you know, strategically placed a pillow in my pants and the rest is history. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Did you ever learn how to ski too?
No, I don't pizza and french fries. That's for stupid people. Oh,
dude. So
I don't know. No, I never did. I feel like I wasn't good enough at snowboarding to learn how to ski also. I felt like one winter sport was good enough. I went snowmobiling occasionally and that was pretty fun. But I did take advantage of Colorado. It's funny because when I posted a video about Colorado recently, somebody was like, oh, get all these Californians out of here. And I was like, dude, I lived there for several years. I was out adventuring every weekend, which means like I have seen more of Colorado than most people that live in Colorado. You know, the guy's like, ah, that's a good point. Like,
you're saying people gave you shit on your video about coming from California to Colorado?
Well, you know, he's joking to a certain degree, but you know how like when people move somewhere from somewhere, they're always like, yeah, get those Californians out of Colorado because they're all moving there because everybody's trying to get out of here.
Californians are going everywhere, man.
Yeah. So deal with it. But the point is, I was like, dude, I guarantee you I've seen more of Colorado. Like when I took that road trip, I hit what, 8, 9, 10 different cities within 7 days or something. It was crazy.
Wow.
So I like to adventure.
Yeah. Heck yeah, dude. So
you know what it's all about. I mean, like it's one of the advantages to our sport. In fact, I think after we rode, I was still on the road trip and I found out you were in Moab riding that like in a few days later, right?
Was I? Maybe. That might have been one of those times where a friend was like, hey, we're riding a whole enchilada tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you want to join us? Like, well, that's not the kind of ride that you just jump in last minute, but I jumped in last minute and I screwed myself over. But I don't know. I haven't been riding a lot lately. I've like maybe one ride in the past 3 weeks. It sucks.
It is absolutely tricky. And like when you find, obviously when you get the cold weather, it's harder. And then when you get it, it's dark before you get home. That's especially hard. It's like, you know, this is my first time trying to produce content like this. Like when I started the channel in February, it was like, all right, well, daytime all the time. It's super easy to just get out and ride anytime you want. And like, you know, within family restrictions. But, you know, now it's like, oh, it's even harder now. I've never had to feel that before. OK, because the channel's pretty new. Right. So it's like, I'm feeling that. So I've got a concept. The idea is like, I provide daytime riding footage to other YouTubers. It's going to be like an infomercial style video, right? Where it's going to be like, are you tired of it getting dark early? You know, like that sort of thing.
Do you complain about it? Do you complain about it every year?
Yeah.
Every year. Do you have daylight savings there?
Yeah, it's stupid. Why do we still have that?
Yeah, I don't know. Arizona doesn't. Places in Arizona. I remember going there. I work in grocery. So I was like working at a store down there. And we have order cutoff times for their grocery orders. I was like telling them these times and they were an hour late because they didn't even realize that. Yeah. It was stupid. We just need to get rid of it.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really like add that much downside, right? What's the difference? It's dark at 5:30 instead of 4:30. Like, I don't know, like whatever. It's just another one of those things. Like, oh, well.
So you're getting out during the day then? Are you doing it to make videos? Are you putting out like weekly videos? You're pushing forward, trying to hit that 1,000 subscribers to shave a dick in your beard?
I think it was as we've all discovered, as you get more production value, your time frames change. So, you know, things have changed. I was doing every Monday or whatever it was. And now it's more about just kind of developing a concept and fleshing it out a little bit more and listening to creative advice and constructive criticism from others in the industry, as such as yourself. And using that to better yourself. I think a lot of people will, you know, when somebody says like, your videos suck, they get really downhearted. But not when you told me my videos suck. I said, I'll improve them for you.
Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't ever tell me my videos suck.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's just, you know, like, don't get offended. Like, people are trying to help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And like writing videos, we've talked about this a ton on this podcast, but like, I think writing straight POV vlog style videos aren't really doing very well.
Yeah.
I suppose. I don't know. People want to join for the story unless you absolutely shred like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Shredder is definitely, I think it's a great entry point. And I think it's really like, I could see time wise, like now, like that's because that's what I was doing. Right. And it's like, that was easy to edit and get together and like put together and people got to know my personality. So it's like, now that's amplifying a little bit more where I can wrap bits into the rides and into the videos. And it's really about staging people for, you know, comedy, right? So like really it's more about like it being funny than anything else. And a lot of the times I can shoehorn people into this stuff and I can get them involved. So if I have an idea, like while we're on the trail, I'm like, all right, here's an idea. Like in a recent video with a Yeti gathering, essentially like I was like, let's dispel this rumor that all Yeti riders are dentists. And so I go and interview several people. I'm like, sir, what's your occupation? He's like, I'm a dental anesthesiologist. I'm like, damn it. And then I go to the next guy. I'm like, what's your occupation? He's like, I am actually a dentist. I'm like, shit.
Oh yeah.
And then I asked the third guy, I'm like, what's your occupation? He's like, I'm a orthodontist. I'm like, see, not everybody's a dentist. He's an orthodontist. And they're like, that's the same thing. I'm like, damn it.
Was that one dude really a real dentist?
No, I stage all those stuff.
Oh, okay.
Hollywood magic, Shane. Hollywood magic. Like, here's what happens, and this is why people regret inviting me on rides, is because I'll be like, hey, can you film something for me? And then I sexually take advantage of them. No.
Hey, we did say this was not going to be safe for work. So.
Yeah, sorry.
You're good. No,
no, dude. But I, you know, you come up with an idea, and it's like, hey, let's see if we can execute. And it usually turns out pretty funny, at least quirky. If it's quirky, that's good. You know what I mean?
You're actually,
if it gets you a chuckle, you're good.
You're throwing it in the right way.
Yeah,
I tried to do a comedy video and it ends up being my worst video and loses me subscribers.
Yeah, yeah. What are you talking about? Chip Drink?
Yeah.
But it's great. Like, that's what's so, like, it doesn't matter. Here's what, like, the best part is, like, it's the channel is your personality. And it's like, if it's not that, then what is it? You know what I mean? Like, there's other directions you can go to get more popularity. But like, I think like having your personality out on the page is like so good. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? That's people are coming for you, man.
We need the organic Chip Drink from you.
Yes. Yes. My dude, I threw that video together real quick. Like
10 minutes.
I literally
posted the video and then you.
So Shane puts out the Chip Drink video, right? And essentially, like, I'm still in my underwear, waking up, pouring my coffee out. And I'm like, oh, man, he done did it. And so, like, basically, I go into my office and I grab a bunch of cameras and I run outside. My wife's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I literally set up a ladder so I could get an aerial shot of the second camera. I'm like out here just totally random on a Saturday morning. And so then I set everything up. I get an extension cord out in the backyard so I can wire up a blender and I get this organic chips. And I'm like, let me make some organic Chip Drink, like a 30-second bit just for the hell of it, just for Instagram, just for my story. It's like, what a monumental waste of time.
Was it just a story? You didn't do a post?
No.
That makes it even better that you put all that work in. That's how I am too. So like, I'm probably one of the most disorganized people ever. And I absolutely hate it. Like, I see people like Brian and Seth and their garages. And that's what I want. That's what I want to imagine myself being. But I'm the worst. Like, if you get in my car, it's like I live out of my car. You open the passenger door and I've got to clear out like a caddy and chips and all sorts of shit I've got to throw. And then like, so for me, whenever I have to make a video, like I'm doing what you're doing, I'm grabbing all the shit and just like, okay, put it together. And then like, just before we're doing this today, I had no idea where my microphone and my camera were. I'm like, oh shit, where are put that. Like, I need to get my shit together. I just moved into a house and we just redid carpets. So we've been living out in the front room, but that's no excuse. It's just, I don't know, man.
You know what it is? I already know this and I'm already like barely into this YouTube thing. And I have accepted the fact that that's my strong suit and I'm okay with it. Like, here's the thing.
Are you organized?
No. My strong suit is the fact that I'm disorganized. The sheer, the improvisation Let me rephrase that. The improvisation ability. Wait, is that a word? Yeah,
sure.
I made it a word. The improvisation ability of myself is what is going to make the channel like good. Like, it's my personality, right? So planning a long shoot, writing a script, that is a headache to me. Like, I know I'm eventually going to do some of that stuff, but writing a script hurts my head. But, you know, in the meantime, I can come up with an idea on the fly, execute it, and maybe that's going to be good. I don't know. Like,
get people to play along. Drink.
Yeah, salut.
Mm. Well, you're doing something right. Like, you, okay, 944 subscribers. There has to be 56 people listening to this podcast to get you to a dick in the beard.
Fuck.
That's what we need. That's the ultimate goal of this. I know I said I'm bringing you on because you're going to do most of the talking and do all the work for me, but we just need people to go to youtube.com/CaliRadoKid and get you a dick in the beard.
Don't subscribe just for that purpose alone, all right? I want people on board that are okay with my stupid humor, all right? That's you gotta, because if somebody jumps into one of my videos and they're like, they're expecting like this incredible like riding ability and mountain biking content, like sometimes they jump in and it's obviously mountain bike oriented, but sometimes they jump in and like, what is this guy doing? Like, unless you have a sense of humor, you might not get it. But, you know, if you got a good sense of humor and you're willing to have some fun, like, jump on in, baby. Let's get down to business.
Well,
let's get deep.
I'm going to ask the dumb YouTuber, interesting YouTuber question. Like, what are your channel goals? People ask me that. And I don't have any. So, but
channel goals. All right. So when I originally started, the goal was to hit 1,000 subscribers within 1 year of starting the channel. I am ahead of schedule now, which is nice. Okay. Because I think I started in February or March of this year.
Nice.
So I am on target to do that soon. I'm going to hit 1,000 soon enough.
Yeah.
And then I think the goal, and this may be a bit overly ambitious, is to hit 10,000 by the end of next year.
Oh,
I'm going to ramp up production. I'm going to start doing some interesting stuff and we'll see if it takes hold.
Interesting. Okay. Like scripted stuff. What do you mean by interesting stuff?
I got all kinds of weird ideas, man. I got a whole laundry list of ideas. And if I can find the time to film them and execute, like, I've got a marketing team that I've hired. I've hired a manager. I've got a publicist. All this stuff. Look, you know, some people really like wait until they get success. And that's not really what I'm doing. Really, I've front loaded and I've got a lot of expenses and overhead now. But trust me, it's going to pay off in the end.
Oh, what does a publicist do?
I have no idea. But they said I needed a publicist. So
that just makes me think of Dino Drive Through Records. Early November.
No. Is it like Def Row Records?
California. I don't know. They did this DVD. And
digital video disc.
I've been a VCR. I don't know. But I was a kid. I was watching it. And they were like, hey, you're this cool new band. We're hiring a publicist, a manager and publicist. And she comes in. And they've got like hidden cameras. And these dudes are maybe like 16 or 17 in this band. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being a stripper. She was like all up on these underage dudes. And my dad found the DVD and was like, what are you watching this for? And I'm like, it's funny.
Well, in that case, I'm firing my publicist and getting a new one.
Yeah.
I've seen nothing like that yet.
There's nudity in there. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, yeah. Take anything you can get on VHS.
Drink. Yeah, you're going to, I think you'll hit 10,000 quick, especially if you ramp up your production.
Really?
Your last video, the Yeti video, that was good.
I'm working on it. It's
more than just like, hey, I'm writing.
It certainly needs to be honed, right? Like, and it's evolving. Everything's evolving. But realistically, numbers aren't really the biggest deal in the world. It's not really the biggest thing. So far, what I've found is the most interesting thing is just developing the friendships. And there's a lot of people like you, for example, that I never would have met had I not just like put myself out there a little bit more and been more involved in the community. So it's like, you know, there's a bit of recognition that takes place. Like, oh, I've seen one of your things or something like that kind of sometimes gets you in the door. It's kind of like, I think of like, okay, so say you got some guy wearing a Broncos jersey in Grand Junction and you're into the Broncos. You're like, hey man, like that was a good game last week. And all of a sudden you've bridged that gap. That conversation has now started and now you're in a door that you wouldn't have been in before. Right.
So
this has been something of a catalyst because of that. Like you can use that to bridge a gap sometimes.
So I moved here, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. And this YouTube channel is literally what made me all my friends. So yeah. I totally relate to that. Yeah.
It's such an interesting thing. And people talk about like for a long time, you can put off doing something. It could be a situation where you're like, I don't have the right camera or I don't have the right mics or I don't have the right lights and all this stuff. But realistically, and we may have talked about this before, I am a firm believer that content is king. If you're producing If you're making interesting stuff, it doesn't matter what you're using to do it. Like, you can look at TikTok videos that got millions of views. The production value is awful. Well, like, they're doing something with it, right? And, I don't have TikTok. I'm too old for that, by the way. I think
that's the number one TikTok. So you don't get it. I'm just trying to keep up with these tweenagers, man. But you obviously have all the right gear. I mean, look at the microphone. You've got the studio. Do you have like a background in video production or radio? You've got the radio voice.
I do have the radio voice. Okay, here's a long story short. So I actually worked at a college radio station for a while. And so my middle name is Adam. And I had a buddy of mine who was in the radio for a long time. He's now actually a program director in Florida for a really successful station. But his name was Adam. So we did a show on Sac State Radio called Up and Adam with Adam and Adam. It was a morning show.
That's brilliant.
And we actually coined the concept of news talk karaoke. It was like a recap of the news, but in karaoke fashion. And I'm certain that somebody has copied that idea by now.
You just have to write news lyrics to music every single day.
Yeah. So it was like I have it on tape somewhere that we used to do this and all that stuff. And so then after a while, I was working in promotions at a radio station, actually, where you go and set up the tents and do all that stuff. And then I was like, I like to learn everything. So I learned how to use the gear. I got really involved with it. And I was like, hey, like, what do you think about an air shift? And so I ended up doing like a Saturday night old school show. We basically like this guy, Morris Knight, out of San Francisco. And I would like get his voice tracks on the air. And then I would jump in and do some stuff. And you'll never guess my on air name.
Joe.
That's a pretty good guess, but that's a really good guess. No, it's Joe Foe on the radio. It's awful. I don't know who came up with it. I don't think it was me.
Good.
But it seemed like a good idea at the time. And so basically, like, I was doing the Saturday night old school show, and I would jump in every now and then, say it's like 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday. I'd be like, hey, everybody, Morris Knight just dropped down, you know, that sort of stuff. And, you know, you realize like very quickly that obviously like being a radio jock doesn't have like it's still like you can still make money there. But there's more and more syndication happening in the radio industry. Basically like, oh, the guy out of San Francisco just voice tracks for all the markets down below, right? The lower markets. And so how are you as a jock going to start making money ever? You get laid off instantly like that. So I made the decision to move over to engineering. And essentially, like, I have been in that department for a while now. Like over 10 years, I moved to Colorado. I actually built some radio studios out there. We had a facility right across the street from the Denver Broncos stadium. And so we built a new facility over there. I went to LA and I built a bunch of studios there. And then we built some, I actually just finished building some showcase studios out in San Francisco also.
Showcase?
Yeah. Like think like really like state of the art, like beautiful, you know, it's pretty cool. It's
recording studios for radio or for
Music? Yeah. Broadcast studios. So for radio stations.
Okay. So like no recording artists.
No, it's not live audio, so not like recording bands. It's more like radio stations, morning shows, all that stuff. So anyways, I decided at one point that I wasn't going to do that anymore. And a fun fact also, there is a local baseball team called the Rivercats here in Sacramento. And I used to be the on-field MC for 1 year, and they called me Shoeless Joe. And I would run around on the field with a mic, wireless mic, and I would do stuff, bits in between innings. You know what I mean? Like, I would be the guy on the field doing bits in between innings. So, like, my favorite thing was I would just go wait until someone took a bite of their hot dog and I would interview them on camera. Like, so on the big screen, they're coming up on camera and they can't even talk. Like, it was just like, I would just get really involved.
Oh, that is so good.
So when you know, ask me to come talk on a mic, it's not the strangest thing in the world for me.
I mean, you've got the setup, man. Like, you sound fantastic. You probably have like the thing that it has to plug into with the knobs and dials and sliders and then an interface and then
I have a lot of buttons I can touch. Yeah, absolutely. Dials I can turn. Ooh,
one thing that plugs into the computer. I can't deal with all sorts of other stuff. I don't know, the thing is, so I played in bands as a kid.
Yeah.
And did a lot of recording, but I never did what you did where I'm like, hey, can I learn some of that? Like, I was just like, I'm on the other side. This was back in the 90s and 2000s before we were filming everything. We had like nice cameras and they were filming shows and recording audio. And I never had a camera out. I never documented any of it. And I wish that I would have.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting sometimes, like, and again, the same thing comes into play with like what we do here. Sometimes you just can't be afraid to ask, like, if you like something, like, don't feel foolish that you don't know. Like, I never did. Like, I was always happy to ask, like, what does that do? Like, what's that button do? Like, what does this do? How does that work? Like, Sometimes if you do that, people really appreciate that. Like, and that doesn't matter what career you take, right? Like, if you're willing to ask questions, then people like that. Like, because they're like, let's get this guy involved. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's your career now?
I do the same thing. Yeah. I've been a broadcast engineer for a long time. So that's my profession.
So when a DJ is talking, are you behind the soundboard or what do you?
No. I'm not a board op. No. I manage the facilities, manage the transmitter sites, basically any studio, like facility improvements, basically like a chief engineer. So it's like, we build the studios, we implement everything. It's so, you know, everything and anything. Mic breaks down, something's gone wrong, I'll go figure it out. So I have a technical background, you know, which comes in play here because you're always troubleshooting something. Like, why didn't the memory card load up? Why didn't this shoot? Why is this not working? Like, it's just the same thing, which can be tiresome. Well, especially when it's your job, right? When you like, you don't want to come home and fix stuff too. It's like, I've just created more work for myself.
It's like me. I'm working in a grocery store all day and I get a text message. Hey, can you pick up all this grocery list stuff? I'm just like, I don't want to go shopping. So I've seen you've posted like stories or posts of you out in the middle of the fields with big antennas. Is that part of your job?
Yeah. So transmitter site maintenance. So you're talking about 50 kilowatt transmitters going into, you know, 5-bay antenna systems that are putting out over 100,000 watts. Like, it's just, the stuff will kill you. Like, the stuff will kill you. The FM stuff is a lot more lenient than the AM stuff. The AM stuff, you have these big, we're getting way too far. Everybody's tuned out by now, by the way. You got giant phaser cabinets that if you touch a single thing in there, boom, you're going to die. In fact, there's plenty of pictures of people like the copper thieves. Like, copper thieves go around and steal stuff. And I promise we'll get back to mountain biking, but they come and cut the transmission line and it fries them instantly because what they've done is they've made themselves the ground, right? So that all that power just goes through their body and bang, good luck with your $100. You're done.
So do you guys have dead people all the time?
I mean, not from that. Like, I have a lot of dead hookers in the trunk, but like, I usually get rid of them quickly enough that it doesn't stink. And that's really the trick to not being discovered, I've found.
Drop them off at a work site. Oh, they electrocuted themselves.
Yeah. I bring them all to Grand Junction. It's worth the drive. 13 hours.
Do you love your job? How long have you been doing it for?
Oh, man. 12, 13 years, maybe more. It's been a while. It's been a while. Yeah. But, you know, different location. So, like I said, I was in Denver. I was in LA. And I'm back to Sacramento. We've got all our family up here. My parents, her parents, all that stuff. So, we've got everybody up here. And it made sense to come back. We've had our house here for a long time. So, it's good. It's good. Sacramento's got a lot of good stuff around it. We got a lot of good NorCal riding areas like Auburn and Nevada City and Downeyville's close, which is, I'm going to take Kyle out there because he's now my best friend and not yours.
You guys have already ridden
together. Yeah. And the funny, all right, here's a great story. Okay, now we're getting back to mountain biking, everybody, so you can tune right back in. Hey, how are you doing? I'm the Colorado kid. So I was mildly hungover one day and I was like, let me go ride in Auburn. Auburn's a local trail system. And I'm just stumbling out of my car at this point, like just down in water, trying to get back to my normal self. Didn't have the camera this day because I was like, I'm not filming today. No way. Right. So I get out of my truck and I'm just getting all my gear ready. And all I see is like, hey, is it a YouTuber? I was like, hey, yeah. I was like getting real full of myself. Like, yeah, now we're talking. Now people recognize me. You know who I am. And so I get out of the, you know, I'm like, hey, what's up? And then all of a sudden, boom, biker comes out. Like Robert, you know, he comes out of the truck and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. So
have you met him before?
Yeah. We kind of met passing several times and he's such a cool dude. Like, so I did this major ride in Downeyville and I'll get back to that story. Don't you worry, guys. We're going to tie it all together. I did this major ride in Downeyville where, okay, this is how stupid my channel is sometimes. And I love the randomness and it's got to continue. So we're out in Downeyville and the plan is to rent e-bikes. Cause this is like, there is no shuttles running, nothing's going on. Like I was like, dude, a great idea would be to get e-bikes and support the local shop who had just reopened because of COVID. And this was a while ago now, but this is like early on in the COVID scenario where they couldn't run shuttles and they were just, you know, I was like, let's go give them some money. Let's rent e-bikes. Let's go get some gear and some food from them and burritos and all that stuff. And then we'll e-bike up the mountain and do the traditional Downeyville ride. And so we get into town and we got a cabin. We're staying for a couple of days. And I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. So we show up to this, like we show up and the night before they're like, oh, shuttles are running again. Oh, damn it. So basically we're like, all right, well let's improvise here. So we asked the shop owner and we're like, okay, what should we do? And he sent us on this crazy backcountry route that I never knew existed. And it turned out to be, It turned out to be one of the craziest and funnest rides I've ever done because, like, it was just like breaching into the unknown. We had five of us just in the backcountry, didn't see a single person the whole time on e-bikes, 35 miles, like 8,000 feet of climbing. It was absolutely nuts.
This is with Robert?
No. So, okay, sorry. Yeah, good point. I did mention him, didn't I? Okay. This is what happens. I start talking. All right, so we're in Downeyville, and we're about to start the ride, and I run into him, like, right at the beginning of the trailhead. Him and his buddies are getting ready to self-shuttle, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? It's like maybe the first time I actually ran into him, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? I was like, hey, can we, like, film you on camera real quick saying hi? Okay, cool. Really early on in my – I was like 150 subscribers or something. Like, nobody knew who the hell I am. Sweet. Yeah. Unlike now where everyone knows who I am.
All 904.
Yeah. All 900 and whatever. So anyway, so we do this monstrous adventure ride. And so that was the first time I really ran into him. And then when we got back to town, like 6 hours later or whatever, him and his buddies were eating pizza and drinking beer. And they're like, oh, how'd that go? And I was like, it was incredible. Like, it was so fun. We were just getting ripped up by blackberry bushes, destroyed by poison oak. And so anyways, long story short, we run into him again. That's the first time I ran into him. Anyways, now we're back to Auburn. You ready, guys? Here we go. We're bringing it all together. And so then we're back in Auburn, and they jump out of the truck, and they're like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, and so I'm like, I'm going to take off because I don't like to butt into people's rides. Like, I never, same thing, like, I would never invite myself over to someone's house.
You're a Colorado kid.
Yeah. Well, now I can. But the problem is I usually charge for me to be there. Like, it's just, there's a talent fee and everything involved. It's tricky. So we run into him in Auburn. I'm like, I'm going to take off. Boom. I go up to the top of the hill, ride down, come back to the truck. I'm regaining some water, all that stuff. Boom. They pull up in their shuttle like, oh, what's up, guys? Again, good to see you. I'm like, oh, I'm going this way. You're going that way. Cool. So that we both take off again. And I come back up and reload on water. They pull back up in another shuttle. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, you guys running a Ford dealership here? And so, oh, that went limp. And so, like, then eventually he's like, I go back down the hill and I'm climbing back up the road. I'm just like climbing back up the road to do another lap. And they pull up in the truck like, dude, you want to just jump in and ride with us? I'm like, yes, I do. Thank you.
Biker and Kyle
and everybody. Yeah. And we ended up riding for a couple more hours, I think. Like, it was super fun. Those guys are great. And I just never like to butt in. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that guy. Like, I was riding solo. I was recovering. But by that time, I was fully recovered and we had an awesome ride. So it was great. So, yeah. Sorry. I'm taking over this whole thing, aren't I? You'd say something now.
So they did like three shuttles?
They did more than that. They had like 14 vehicles in 7 different locations.
I didn't know that Downey.
It was like the real world.
Oh, no, Auburn, not Downey.
Yeah, in Auburn, yep. Oh, yeah. In Auburn.
Oh, well, long I'm glad story,
wasn't it? Sorry about that.
My friend Kyle, he's like one of my favorite people.
Such a cool dude, man. We finally got a chance to talk a little bit. And I think I remember when you did that video where it's like, Kyle's moving to the Sacramento area. I was like, this is before we even rode. I was like, hey, dude, that's super cool. Like, if he needs anybody to ride with, let me know. I didn't know that you guys knew everybody out here already. So, Jesus. Well, now I feel like YouTube, a fool.
YouTube connects you to everybody.
I know. You guys had already known Robert, huh?
Kind of.
Okay.
I've met him a few times, but we've never, I was going to say we've never struggled, but like,
yeah, fair enough.
There are of us like, bumping our stomachs together. Oh man, no, it's so good. Okay, so we have kind of a little bit formatted here,
mm-hmm.
And I'm again. I said we're just going to do everything to piss Paul off.
Sure,
you know, we're getting a little bit drunk. I think I sound more drunk than you do. You sound like you're still put together, man.
I'm I have a really large whiskey bar, and. And let's just say I enjoy whiskey quite a bit. So it's no stranger to me.
All right. New segment. Rapid fire questions.
All right, I like it.
We have songs, but, and this might not be rapid fire. Okay. Baths or showers?
Showers for sure. I don't want to sit around in my own filth.
Oh,
but am I an animal?
Okay. So I like to shower and then soak.
Baths. Yeah, that's a lot of, all right, as a grown-up, that's a lot of wasted water, okay? You're paying your water bills off the charts, Shane.
I stay in a lot of hotels.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. That makes sense.
Desserts, sweets, or savory?
Savory. Yeah, I don't like sweets. It's not my thing.
You. Like, no. My wife or kid, like, oh, do you want some cake or brownies? And I'm not about that. Okay, so what's your favorite savory snack?
Favorite like savory?
I am hitting here like, oh, I'm hungry.
Are we talking about snacks or are we talking about like meals?
Or meals.
Favorite. You know what? There used to be this Korean barbecue spot in Fairfield where I grew up. And it was my spot. They recently closed down. Once COVID hit, it was it. It was like nail in the coffin. But I wrote an article about them when I was a sophomore in high school. Like, I remember going there. I'd been going there, and like, I came with my two kids or whatever, and they're like, oh, you know, like, we grew up with the place.
What are they?
It was my favorite food. It was the best.
Korean barbecue.
Yeah, it was something special about it. It was called Sam's Teriyaki, and it was like a fond memories, man. And it's so sad. Like, it's just super sad.
Yeah, I was said we're not going to talk about COVID, dude.
No, not necessarily that. I mean, they might have been ready to retire anyways. It was pretty early on in the situation, but just like knowing that I can't get it again. I almost wanted to like hire her as a personal chef with the millions of dollars of YouTube revenue that I have at this point. I mean, I don't know about you, but even though I haven't monetized the stream yet, I'm already getting paid millions in sponsorship deals. Was that like the same for your channel?
Yeah, dude, the YouTube money truck just backs up every week.
Jesus, I'm never going to make a living at this. I'm an idiot.
That's why I'm here. Right? No, so my favorite kind of snack is ramen noodles.
Ooh, I do like. Like, are you talking about like the packaged ramen, or are you talking about the
package? Huh? Package.
Okay.
The squares. Yeah. Total it's empty calorie.
It's hard to beat.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Favorite drink.
Like alcoholic drink or just drink?
Sure. You whiskey. Just drink. Whiskey. Me too.
I drink more whiskey per capita. And by the way, as a side note, since we're talking about our favorite drinks, this 10-year is excellent. You should open it. I've got a lot of whiskeys you can't get anymore. Like, I got all kinds of random stuff in the bar, and maybe I'll break some of those out later. But yeah, this is really good. I'm really happy. Are they the kind
that you sip on and open, or are they the kind that you save and you don't open?
No, I just, in my opinion, it is made to be shared and drank. So I don't really care how much it costs. Like, if you came over, I would say pick whatever you want. Like, I don't care.
I love that.
I'm happy to share.
Coworker that's like, oh yeah, I just, whenever I'm traveling, I like to buy cool bottles of whiskey. I'm like, oh cool, do you drink them? He's like, no, I don't even drink whiskey. I just keep them. Like, what?
Dummy.
This has a bunch of, okay, this is rapid fire.
Yeah.
What did you not like as a kid that you like now?
Holy crap. That's a deeper question than I don't know. Wait, what did I not like as a kid that I like now?
Yeah.
Man, I can't think of anything. I've always been like, I just like everything and do everything.
Talk radio?
Podcast? No, I mean, I don't really like listening to radio. What did I not like as a kid? We might have to come back to this. That's not rapid fire, but.
What podcasts do you listen to right now, other than the Joey podcast? Obviously, every week.
There is, it's funny because like, I don't have a lot of time for video gaming anymore. I used to be huge into gaming, but there's a podcast out of Minnesota. It's called KFan and Video Games Weekly. It's Paul Charchian, who's known for basically like fantasy football, but it's basically a sports style show for video games. And it's actually on a radio station. So it's really well structured. They've got Reiner from Game Informer's involved. And so like they actually, like to me, they just get to the point, they focus on it for 45 minutes and they're done. Like it's unlike this where I'm rambling for a long time and people tuned out a long time ago, they actually stay very structured and it's my favorite one. It's, but I don't have time to game anymore because I'm editing videos all my spare time.
So you're a gamer.
Yeah. In fact, I have a PS5 sitting back here that I haven't opened yet. It's just sitting there.
Is that a new one that?
Yeah, it just came out. People are reselling them for tons of money. I got it like 2 weeks ago. I haven't even had time to open the damn thing because I had to edit that video and I just don't have time, man.
Right? Like you want to bust it out and play some Halo.
Halo? You can't play Halo on a PS5, Shane. What's wrong with you? You son of a bitch.
It's Xbox, right?
I game on PC, dude. I've got a gaming PC. That's what I edit on. And if I'm going to game, I'll just game on the highest fidelity possible, which is there. You know what I mean?
I get it. All right, and that was rapid fire questions segment number one. Moving on.
I got one for you. Hold on. At what point when you started cutting your own hair did you realize it was a terrible idea?
You know, for work.
No, it looks good. It does. From the front, it looks really good.
I feel like I can get away with it because I'm wearing a mask or a gaiter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'll pull the gaiter up. For me, whenever I'm wearing a gaiter, I feel like it's better if you wear it higher up on the head because it pulls tight to your mouth.
So you can
breathe in and out instead of an air pocket. So, that's kind of giving me an excuse to cut my own hair.
Fair enough.
All right, we are moving on to Joey of the Week. Is it you? Is it me? It's the Joey of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, your favorite segment out of the Joey podcast is the Joey of the Week, where you nominate yourself or someone that you know or someone that you've met that you feel like was a complete Joey. And we get to read it live on air for millions of listeners and viewers. And maybe if we have a story of the week, I don't really think I do. Sometimes when we get into it, I remember. But we read your nominations that you comment on the YouTube. You know, we want you to listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, but come and comment on the YouTube. And I'm just going to – we have three nominations for this week. I'm going to let our guest, Joe, the Colorado kid, read our first nomination.
All right, you give me the longest one, and now I'm really disappointed. All right, I've got a read, and that's not really my strong suit, but here we go. Leo Molly is the Joey of the Week. He says, a guy who shows up at our local trails with a brand new Yeti SB165. However, he can't even get around a berm without toppling over. I decided to help him and teach him a few things. Firstly, I noticed his rebound is set as fast as possible, causing the bike to be uncontrollable. After fixing all the things, I ask him where he bought it and why the Yeti. He responds with, I went to Summit Cycles, a boutique bike shop, and told them I wanted to ride fast downhill trails like Loic Brony, and so they gave me this. However, the bike shop didn't have any downhill bike, or he put DH, but I'm just going to go ahead and put downhill. The bike shop didn't have any DH bikes in stock, so they convinced him to do a custom Yeti build with a DH transmission and no dropper post. My guess is that he had watched enough YouTube videos before buying his first bike that the sales staff didn't even pick up that he was a Joey.
Oh, no. Well, the thing is, if he had watched YouTube videos, he would have known to get a trail bike. But to be the type of person to walk into a shop and be like, yeah, I want a red trail. It's like the world champion downhill racer. And the shop is just like, yeah, dude, here, buy this Yeti with no drop post and a drivetrain that doesn't allow you to pedal trails. I don't think this dude has done his research. He's probably a dentist.
God damn it. Son of a bitch. I wish that YouTube had basically a survey before you watched any videos. And the survey goes like this, like, click on the things that you enjoy. Like, do you like being here in the backcountry? Do you enjoy going fast? Like, have those little questions and you can maybe iron out the type of videos that person might like, because it's not always that someone's going to dig just downhill park stuff. Like, for me, I love adventure rides, and I'm interrupting this segment once again, but like, who knows, you know, what that type of person really likes. If they're first getting into mountain biking, what do they know? Like, they have no clue. Like, maybe you can help, like, narrow down what YouTuber they should get involved with.
You said before they watch YouTube videos, not before they buy a bike?
Yeah, okay, there's this Joey's saying they probably watch YouTube videos to get that bike, right? Or did I misread?
I don't know.
It's falling off the rails real quick. Okay, you read the next one, all right?
Okay. Our good friend Flatwoods MTB says, my Joey of the Week moment is myself. Much to my delight, a new Joey podcast, a podcast about mountain biking for mountain bikers and people who aren't mountain bikers, popped up yesterday morning. He's doing that to help our SEO. I thought to myself as I opened up the bike shop in the morning that it'd be a perfect watch / listen on the TV for my customers. Then as soon as customers open the door, all you hear is balls, 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 his balls, broke his balls, face palm.
Last day for work.
Yeah, last week with Mike Levy, there was some ball discussion, which, again, that's why I started this thing off saying, hey, not safe for work.
Yeah.
Don't play it at your bike shop. Actually, I don't think we've been too bad.
No, I've been minimizing my curse words. And I think both as fathers, you and I, we're used to scaling it down when we need to. It's totally fine.
I guess. I always try to get my kids to swear, though.
Yeah, in your latest, in one of your latest videos. Yeah, you monster.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know what it was. Like, yeah, I'm a badass dude. And then my daughter called me to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are starting to spell. I say, hey, what is HIT spell? And they'll be like, Dad, it's a grown-up word. Mom, Daddy's trying to swear.
How old are your kids again? They're the same age, like close, right?
Seven and five?
Yeah. Flora's turning five tomorrow. Yeah, our kids are 7 and 5. Same. It's crazy. Like, my son's 7, my daughter's 5. So, as long as they understand that, like, okay, like, you know the word, but you're not supposed to use it. Like, and then when they use it in the right context, that's when it gets freaky.
Oh, we tell them, like, it's a grown-up word, maybe, because it can hurt people's feelings.
It's a
bad person. So
yeah,
here I go off on my drunk ramblings.
Fair enough. Paul,
you're going to be so upset with me. I'm drinking too much.
He's never going to invite me back again. Thanks a lot, Shane.
I know. The thing is, yeah, is if you break podcast rules when you eat on podcasts, like it's disrespect. That's why Brian is.
By the way, all right, by the way, as a side note, and I'm totally interrupting the segment once again with a story. I text BKXC tonight and I was like, hey, what was the podcast you were talking about where you hated to eat all the time on the podcast? And he was like, oh, the Joey podcast. I'm like, well, I'm jumping on there tonight. And I really was looking for some celery to just like chomp on some celery during the course of this broadcast. And I couldn't find any. So you're lucky. And there's no way Brian's listening to this because, you know, he doesn't want to listen to me talk. He's got enough of that shit in his life.
If you just talk or eat or drink and get drunk. All right. The last nomination from our listeners, Gilad? Yudovsky. Gilad Yudovsky. He says, Joey of the week. Okay, so he says, my brother wanted me to help him install a spare
drop. I'm disappointed you're not doing a Russian accent on this one.
My brother wanted me to help him install a spare dropper seat ahead. I told him to bring his bike over, but I told him I did not have a dropper lever, and he should bring one. He said that he just bought one off of AliExpress. After we finished installing the cables, I asked for the lever, and he grinned all smug and showed me the lever that he bought.
He typed greened.
He grinned all smug and showed me the lever. I took it out of the bag and I saw that it was a lockout lever for a suspension fork. Lucky him, I managed to find an old bent lever I had.
Pure gold. Pure gold. Ladies and gentlemen, little did you know that his Russian accent was absolutely stunning.
Pretty good. You know, I've been watching a lot. I'm watching Secretary of State and Americans. I feel like I just offended like maybe an eighth of our audience, though. So
that was incredible. No, I mean, being offensive is like part of this world now, I'm afraid.
Okay. Do you have any Joey moments for nomination for yourself? You've been mountain biking more than I have.
No, I'm an idiot. Like when it comes to riding, like my whole life is a Joey moment. Like, all right. So like I go out there all the time and I got no spare tube with me and I get a flat tire. And everybody tells me like in the videos, like just carry a spare tube, and I don't carry a spare tube. And then I get another flat and I'm just stranded hiking up commentating. I literally made, and I kid you not, one of my videos, I spend like 3 minutes just of me hiking and commentating. Like, it's just.
And someone gave you a tube to get out?
No. I just hiked all the way back to the truck like a dummy.
What?
But it was comedy gold. Like, that's what I say about improvisation. It's like the idea that like anything can happen at any moment and you're either willing to roll with it or you cut all the footage out. Would I cut the footage out? No. I'm going to make a goddamn video out of it no matter what.
But do you carry a tube now?
No, still not. No, not at all.
I am going to watch a Christmas gift guide that tells me to get you a $40 tube, and I'm going to send it your way.
You're
gonna
Christmas gift guide. What kind of idiot would make that kind of video?
3 grand. Just those gift guide videos are the worst.
Really. Yeah.
Hey, I'm asking for views in December. It's holiday time.
Watch yes. Guide.
That's my joy of the week. Trying to make it.
As a side story, I appreciate you for doing that because you provide content that I can't provide. Like I can't provide useful information, and that's been proven. Like I'm just incapable of doing it. So like you actually provide good products. And again, that's stuff that people actually need. Like I don't provide that at all. I provide just pointless crap.
But it's comedy gold.
What did I say one time when we rode together? I said, you don't come for the riding. You come. Wait, what is it? Come for the riding, stay for the commentary. I'm like, no, it's the complete opposite. Come for the commentary, stay for the riding.
Yeah. All right. Do we have a winner for Joey of the Week?
Joey of the Week winner.
Nominee.
I feel like I should have a drum roll ready. I wish I would have had, but tell me if you can hear this sound. Okay, that's our music. All right, here we go. Joey of the Week. We're going to give it to the 165 guy. Yeah,
the dentist just walked in with, I want to ride like down to the H champ. And they're like, here, this bike, it's $8,000. Okay.
Dude, there's something that I like about people being able to take the joke and like accept it. Like, whether it's about bikes or whatever else, Yeti owners are great because it's like the joke is on them and they're like cool with it. You know what I mean? Like if you can accept the fact that somebody might make fun of you and it doesn't bother you, then you're going to be one up ahead of them, like, or anybody else. Like it doesn't matter what it is. And I'm diving a little too deep into that subject matter, but I love it when somebody can just take a thing and be like, whatever, like, You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's totally you. You have the Yeti flag flying behind your head right now.
I know, but it was also a hastily set together set. Like, it was like I threw a bunch of stuff on the wall right before we started.
Wheel on the wall.
I do have a Yeti, like, but that's the only bike I own because I'm not rich yet. And the millions of dollars I've earned from YouTube and podcast revenue, which, by the way, I'll let you know where to send the wire transfer for this talent fee for this podcast. Yeah. All that money has gone towards like drugs and hookers. So it's just it's not stretching out as much as I thought.
It's a good investment.
Yeah.
But, okay. So I was going to say it. The one time that Paul left me and Josh to do a podcast by yourself and he's leaving me by myself again.
Yeah.
That one time we talked about bike brand stay away from and hated it because we're not supposed to talk about bike gear on here. Yeah. But one of those brands was Yeti.
Just because of the toxic atmosphere or what was the purpose?
It's turquoise. It's elitist.
Look at all these other companies doing these goofy colors. Look at Santa Cruz's new, not the Heckler, but the new whatever it is. Like, it's the worst colors I've ever seen. It's like dull purple and shit brown. Like, it's awful.
On the list too.
But you know what? People are going to be like, oh, that's awesome because it's different. Like, no, it's awful. It looks awful.
Okay.
Spaghetti blue is sexy. And Santa Cruz does the same damn color pretty much. All right. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah, they do. Okay, so as a Yeti dude who fully accepts, even in your last video, that it's like a dentist bike.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that joke that you accept it. But like, now that trail bikes are getting so good, even just like HorseLink, updated geometry, every brand is doing updated geometry, HorseLink, good colors, awesome. Like all of the components, entry-level stuff is good now. Like, is a Yeti worth it now?
Here's what I'm going to say about that. I know jack squat about bikes. All right. I'm going to be completely clear about that right now. You can put me on any bike and I'll be happy. Like, we talk about Brian, BKXC, we grew up together. Yeah. Great. But we're the same mentality. Like, it just does. Like, you give me a bike, I'll ride it. Like, I bought a Yeti because I rode an SB6 when I was in Colorado 1 year. I went downhilling at, there was a downhill park out there, Keystone. I went to Keystone. Mm-hmm. I think it was Keystone. And I rented an SB6 and it felt incredibly capable. At the time, my first bike was a used Santa Cruz Bronson and it was great. It was great. It was a 27.5. Like it did I just didn't know anything about what I was doing. But it was like, it got me an adventure. And like, what matters to me is what gets me into adventures. I don't care what it is. Like it could be anything. Like it just get me there. I have a huge goal. I want to do a huge bikepacking trip. Like that just sounds so cool to me and interesting. Like, you know, the downhill stuff is like, I love doing that too, but like, I love just getting into trouble and getting into like the unknown, and the unknown is what drives my life. Like this is again, getting off topic, but just right. Like, isn't that something, did you find that like we're like seeing something first time excites you more than like riding your, like, it's just, there's something that drives you. It's like, it's just pure joy.
And for you, that was a Yeti?
I mean, like, okay, so one, all right, that's a great point. Let's bring it back. When I rode the SB6, I was like, in a downhill park, I was like, this is incredibly capable. So when I was trying to find a new bike that I wanted, I was like, well, I want that, but in like a 29er, like, cause I heard about 29ers. I was like, the SB5.5 or whatever was it. And it was like,
that's what
I've ridden that thing, and I've ridden other bikes. I rode Gorilla Gravity out in Colorado. I've ridden the e-bikes and they were good, but nothing like did anything incredibly better than what the Yeti does. Like it wasn't like it was like something that stood out so much that was like, wow, why am I not riding this? You know, like it was just like they were both great too. Like the Gorilla Gravities was incredible. Like we rode out in Colorado, some of the most punishment you could delve on it. We went chasing Epic down in Crested Butte and Gunnison and all this other stuff, the Monarch Pass, incredible trails. And that bike handled everything. Like it was just like totally capable. And but like
it didn't change your mind.
No, I mean like my bike does that too. Like it just like the point is, and I think we've all understood this at this point, like all these companies are making incredible products and I have no loyalty to one or the other or whatever else. I think they're all doing incredible stuff. Like, so no matter what bike you're riding, like it's great. Like get out and ride is the most important part, right? Like that's it.
But nothing fills your cavities more like than a Yeti. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. that is the quote of the night right there. Yeah.
I'm just like, what is this one thing about this one guy that I can make fun of him for?
I know. It can't be the good looks. Cause I mean, I'm incredible. The beard is, it's looking All right, it's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good.
In the beard.
No, but yeah, like, you know, I love that. If the whole point of the channel is self-deprecating humor, then the Yeti style fits right in, because like every one of them was like, if you see in the video, like since I put music under the monologue that I did, like you can't hear as much all the laughter, the chorus of laughter after I bring that line up, but they all laughed, meaning they all accept the joke and they're okay with it.
Oh yeah.
Which means you're tough skinned. You can take some shit from someone and be okay with it, and then move on. Okay. Yeah. Can I make another point?
Yeah, you can.
All right. So have you watched Cobra Kai?
Yes. I loved it.
Okay. Here's a couple things. This one particular moment stood out to me, and maybe it made sense to you too. So the moment when the guy with the cleft lip, and he came in and he was just unconfident. He was very self-conscious of the cleft lip. And he was just like, he created his own problems because he assumed people were judging him because he had a cleft lip, right? Like, and then all of a sudden the teacher just really got in front of him. Right. And he was like, you know, they called him lip. He called him lip. Boom, boom, boom. And it, like, a lot of people would see that as like bullying. But he said, look, man, if you want to change it, you've got to change it yourself. You've got to accept it. I'm paraphrasing, but then he came in and he became Hawk, right? Hawk. With the mohawk and everything. And it was like this
back tattoo.
Yeah. He took control of the situation. He got this internal self-confidence to deal with the situation himself. And people could still rag on him, but it wouldn't bother him anymore because he's just like, whatever. It's just, it doesn't change who I am. It's not, that doesn't define me as a person like that. Yeah. This is way too philosophical for me. But
then Hawk turned into his whole being, and he turned into a bad guy.
Right? But like, you know, but you know what I mean? Like that wasn't him. Like, he was self-inducing that phobia. And like,
dude,
it was an interesting moment. I really appreciated that. It was like, you know what? No matter what it is, if there's something that like bothering you, maybe you need to just be cool with it and know that you're a good person. Like, you're cool, man. Like, nobody's really judging you, and the people that do are, they're the problem. It's not you. You know what I mean?
You know,
it's way too philosophical for what we're talking about. But like, I really like that moment. And it was those little moments in that show that are pure gold.
Oh, I love Cobra Kai. I actually was in a band in high school called LaRusso. And we totally based it off of the Karate Kid.
Incredible.
So segue. what other Netflix shows are you watching right now? What are you digging right now? Because I binged through that so quick. I feel like I've been binging through so much other stuff. What have you moved on to?
Okay, I have been watching. My viewing time is limited as of such these days, but I have been watching The Mandalorian, not Netflix per se, but.
Ooh, yeah, me too.
I'm going to tell you, like, that's Star Wars now. Like, you can just throw away the J.J. Abrams stuff and whatever else. Like, they really just did it. Like, that's Star Wars now. Mandalorian is. Like, this season is nuts.
You know, I'm going to half agree with you. I'm going to say I love the baby Yoda. He's not really Yoda.
Yeah.
And the new the Mandalorian and everything. But I kind of feel like in a movie, you get one big storyline from here to there. So fulfilling. But with these episodes, it's like every single episode has to have like, here's a little side plot that happens. And here's another little side plot. I want to get to the end, and I want to know what's happening with this little baby Yoda or Goku or whatever his name is.
I can't even remember his name. It doesn't matter. Baby Yoda is what it is.
Yeah.
No, I agree. There's something about TV shows that I don't gravitate towards. Like, to me, I get so uninvolved with them so quick. Like, think about The Walking Dead. Think about the opening season of The Walking Dead was absolutely incredible. As soon as Shane died, I was out. Like, that to me was like the most interesting dynamic of the show. And then it just dragged. Like, it was just dragging. Like, Lost. Think Lost. The first episode of Lost is a masterpiece. It's a mastercraft in how to make a television episode. And then, you know, the first season, great. And then they just like, you could tell they didn't know where they were going. I get
new creators though being like, where the fuck do we go from here?
I know. And like, my interest is my attention span is very short. Like, if you can't hold steady, then I'm out. Like, Breaking Bad is a great example of a show that kept me involved the whole time. And I've watched several times. Like, yeah, it's just good throughout. And you could tell that they had a vision for the characters and they stayed consistent with character development and all that stuff. It was just like, that show is gold.
Did you watch The Queen's Gambit?
No. Is it good?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Like, oh, like a little cute girl playing chess. It's great. I downloaded chess on my phone. I'm like trying to become a chess master now. I think everyone is. Apparently, chess is selling out everywhere.
There's no point. The computers will beat you. Like, didn't they make a movie about like a AI winning chess? I don't know. You want to know probably my favorite, maybe not my favorite show, but like very top?
Let's hear it.
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Are those two different shows?
No. Avatar. You haven't watched Avatar?
I've watched Avatar.
No, not the movie.
Oh.
You haven't watched Avatar The Last Airbender or Korra?
I think I've watched The Last Airbender.
Dude, you got kids?
Wait.
Let me tell you something special, all right? You get your ass to Mars and you watch Avatar The Last Airbender with your kids. It is one of the best shows ever created. And I don't want to argue about nothing, Shane. All right. Look,
Netflix or Disney Plus, sir.
It's streamable on Netflix now.
Okay.
But the creators of the show, it's a mix of martial arts. And by the way, as a sub note, I've trained in martial arts for a very long time. I taught for a very long time.
What?
But the core principles of the show are absolutely incredible. You see these kids develop and mature, and people in the comments down below that are no longer watching, be sure to comment down below. I'm telling you, watch Avatar: The Last Airbender with your kids. You will enjoy it. I've watched that series probably four times at least.
What? Okay. So
I'm not kidding. Go look it up. It is one of the best animated shows. Not, I don't want to say animated shows because it's one of the best shows ever, but it's an animated series.
Huh.
It's incredible. Like, trust me. You just get involved, get your kids in front of the TV. You guys will love it just as much as they love it.
Sweet. Well, I appreciate that.
It's seriously one of my favorite shows of all time, because what it does is what most Hollywood movies and TV shows can't do is character development. We're totally on a tangent now, but the problem with most movies and TV shows. They can't develop characters. They have no clue. They don't know how to write dialogue. They don't know how to develop characters. Look at Captain Marvel, for Christ's sake. That movie was a mess.
Captain Marvel.
I'm totally on a tangent now. But like developing a character over time, you've got a character that is here, and then they have lessons along the way, and you see them mature as a character, as a person, and you see that happen in real time throughout the course of the show.
Wow.
So it's also martial arts. It's elements. Yeah. It's like fire bending and earth bending.
So
that's my pitch.
And you've been watching the Avatar: The Last Airbender. Do you watch YouTube?
I love YouTube.
What do you watch on YouTube? Everyone's like, oh, you're on like YouTube. You must watch a lot of YouTube. But I know, like, you watch like Aristotle or people diving in rivers and recording what they find. Like, what is your thing that people don't know? They wouldn't guess.
I mean, I obviously follow what you guys are doing. I mean, I love watching your stuff because it's you. You know what I mean? It's creative. It's fun. But there's occasional junctures. Like, for example, like I found this guy who does like kayaking through rivers, and it was like a world I'd never known. You know what I mean? Like, and I could see myself doing that. Just sometimes you just randomly stumble into stuff that's just different, and it takes you on a new adventure. And like, I love adopting a new thing and like getting involved with it. So that was really interesting. Obviously, like, occasionally video game review stuff, but like, I just care less and less about it because I just don't have as much time. Like PC stuff I used to be involved with, I just don't watch as much of it.
People are going to give you so much shit about not opening that PS5 yet.
Oh, it's still sitting back there. Look in the video. If you guys are watching the video, it's sitting back there on my floor, like doing nothing.
You talk a lot of game about being a gamer, but
yeah, well, what am I going to play on this PS5? Oh, cool. The revamped Miles Morales. You want to talk about video games? Like, you brought nothing to the table. Nothing. This PS5, their primary selling point is fast loading times. Are you kidding me? I've had a PC that does that exact thing for 4 years. Like, are you kidding me? That's your selling point? Don't get me worked up, Shane. I don't want to get all worked up tonight.
How much was the PS5?
That bundle. It was like the PS5, a controller, the new Spider-Man game, and whatever. It was like close to 700.
So it's like a computer. Like you could have bought a tower for that.
No. Mine's way more than that.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm surprised you have to buy games still. Like you can't like download and stream that shit.
Here's another thing you got to know about me. I am very not, what's the, it's not finicky is not the word, but what I do is I recognize quality. And as a result, if I was streaming a game, it would drive me crazy because like the fidelity is not there. I don't have the resolution I want. I don't have the frame rates I want. It would drive me crazy. No, I need to be rendered at maximum quality. It's an attention to detail that's completely useless. But like I hate like low field of views in games drives me crazy. Like if I can't see the environment,
or do you have
it's just dumb
for that?
Huh?
Do you use like a VR headset for that?
I do have a VR headset, but I barely use it. Yeah, I let Brian borrow it for a while. He was digging it, but it's in my closet. I just don't use it.
Is it the Oculus?
Yeah, I have the Oculus. Yeah.
Is that worth buying?
Yes.
Because, okay, so I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I just listened to Ready Player One.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, the book was way better. That's what everybody says about every book. But listening to it was like, oh, shit, I need to buy myself a VR thing. And then suddenly Instagram was advertising Oculus to me. And I was like, do I
which have one?
Games for it? I have no idea. There's different ones.
Yeah.
So which one do I buy?
They'd only sell one now. The one I have tethers to my PC, but the newest one is like, it's fully wireless. You don't even need a PC. You just put it on, you can do it anywhere. And it's like $300. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a no brainer. If you've never done VR, it will blow your mind and it will blow your family's mind. Like I had my wife's father come over and try it on, and there was like a ledge you stand on looking down on the top of a building. And he literally freaked out. He was like, whoa, you know, like. It is worth it for those reactions alone. Like
the game is called Stand on a Ledge.
No, I don't remember what it was. It was like a demo. It was just a demo. It was like, oh, you want to see what VR is like? Try this. It wasn't even a game. It was like, oh, just here's a thing, right? And okay, I'm telling you, it is worth it. I don't know if you can even find it. Every piece of tech is sold out right now. But
true. I ordered a new camera and they were like, it's in stock. And then they sent me a message. It's on back order.
I don't appreciate your camera being out of view right now, Shane. What's going on? It's blurry.
Oh, shit.
Unprofessional. Paul's never going to put up with this.
You know what? This is an audio podcast, so.
Yeah, that's fine. What camera did you order?
The Canon M6 Mark II.
You finally pulled the trigger on a camera, huh?
Yeah.
How much did that run you? Well, we shouldn't talk about that.
It's like $800.
That's not bad.
I got it with the bundle. And I Mr. Tonka, he sold me a nice Canon series L lens, and I got adapters and I got all. I'm that type of, like I told you, I get all the gear,
yep,
and then it's a big mess on my desk.
Yep.
It's like a freaking nest of shit just everywhere.
Yeah,
and I keep telling myself I'm gonna put shelves back here and put my lenses and cameras on. I don't know. You're using that Sony, right?
Yeah, I've got a Canon 70D, which is the worst name ever because everybody thinks it's a 7D. They're like, oh, the 7D. I'm like, no, the 70D, like the 70D. But I bought that one in Colorado, actually. Okay, so here's another side story. Yeah. And I thought about this when you, by the way, why are you so blurry, man? I don't appreciate this. Yeah, there you go. Just to give it a little spit shine. When I was in Colorado, I was going to work on a travel show. Like it was called Cruising Colorado. And I thought about this because look at your shirt right now. It's a Colorado shirt. I'll send you the logo later. It was literally like that with the Colorado flag, and it was called Cruising Colorado. The idea was like traveling to every city in Colorado and dining and wining and like just hanging out in the local cities and highlighting their businesses. And I never got to it. It was the same concept. It was like, oh, nothing's it's not perfect yet or whatever. And like, I could have had something cool there. Like, you know what I mean? I just didn't do it because I was in my own head. And now I finally started something creative, but now I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about?
You said you had the 70D. I've been thinking about buying a cheap body, a cheap camera body for now, and I was looking at the 70D. You said you hate it?
No. It's great. It's actually great. It got me through a lot of stuff. I filmed a lot of stuff. I shot a lot of stuff. I bought an L lens from whatever, and like we're talking camera gear now.
Yeah.
But I've had that for a long time, and then we came across the Sony camera recently, and that's what I used to shoot the B-roll and the Yeti footage, and I got some stuff for that. I've got a full-on gimbal for it, and you know, it's just, you know, now, and you know this, having kids and family, it's different than filming a ride. Like, if I could film a POV ride, that's easy because I'm going to go on a ride, I'm going to film it, I'm going to edit, I'm going to make a video, and it's out. Now, I can't ride because I got to go film, and now there's a difference. And yeah, that's the problem. Like, and I totally relate to it now. I understand it. I understand what people are talking about because, like, there's just so much you can do in time. Like, it's tricky, but I got all this camera gear. I got the new Rode wireless mics. I love gear. You know, I love getting involved with it, but like, how can I execute when it's dark, when I get home and I got the weekend and it's like, do I go ride or do I go film? So now that's the decision I have to make.
Or do you spend time with your kids?
I gotta factor all that in. So the great part is that sometimes I can wrap that in. So like, Sunday morning, I woke up, finished editing the video, exported it, and I took off for a ride up in Sly Park. And I rode for about 3 hours. And like, literally, this is how good I plan my life. I'm like driving up the freeway and I'm like, I'm going to go to Sly Park. So I call the wife. I'm like, let's meet at Apple Hill, where they have like this big area with, you can cut down Christmas trees and buy a ton of Apple stuff. And I was like, we're going to meet there at 3 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock now. I'm going to go up to Sly Park, ride, and then come down to Apple Hill off the mountain. And we're going to meet there and we're going to go cut down Christmas trees with the family. We're going to do all this stuff. And it worked out great. Like, it's, dude, if I can wrap those adventures, and that's also a trick, is like tying it all together.
Dude, that's awesome. We were talking about the Oculus VR headset, mm-hmm, everything being on back order. And then, so by the Oculus, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you don't have a big gaming PC to link to, that's your option.
Oh, for
real. I mean, right now, the Steam, Steam makes one that's like the top of the market. It's more complicated to set up, but it's the best in the business, and it's like $1,000.
Or computer.
Huh?
Are you talking VR or computer?
No, VR. Yeah. They make a VR headset, but then you still need to have a gaming PC to link to it, right? And so like with the Oculus now, it's standalone. I think it's like $300, and you could just put it on and go. And then you can tether it to your PC if you want more resolution and all that stuff. But I'm telling you, if you bought that, it would blow everyone's mind. Like, and it's worth the reactions. Like, the $300 or whatever it is, yeah, is worth seeing everyone's reactions. Like, it's so gold, man. It's great.
You see how selfish I am? You get into like a story about your family and tying Christmas trees to it and your kids, and I bring it right back to my... Bring it right back to what I want for Christmas.
I'm going to make a gift suggestion video, and it will be an Oculus for you. Yeah, absolutely.
This video is for the crashing mom. Please buy the crashing dad an Oculus.
Yes, I'll text her independently later because I know she's not going to watch this.
Oh, man. Well, okay. A little bit of history back. So I think I first saw you in one of like Brian's videos where you guys rode your mountain bike and went fishing and you talked about... Do you know Brian beforehand? What's the deal with that?
That's a great, yeah, it's interesting because like Brian and I grew up together. And so we went to junior high. I don't know if it went back to elementary. I think we met in junior high and we grew up together. I always remember him wearing a hockey jersey with his buddy Bill, I think. And, we were all just buds. Here's the best story I have. And if he watches this, he's just going to tune out right now because I talk about the story all the time. Here's the prime BKXC story for you guys. I told you I've always been into video games. And so there was this moment within, it had to be 1999. This is the year 1999. We're going to take you all the way back to the year 1999. And I'm super excited at this point about the Sega Dreamcast release in 1999. Cause I remember it was $99.99.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was super excited about this thing. And I was like, man, I can't wait for this to come out. I'm going to go wait for it. I'm going to get it. I can't wait to play Sonic Adventure. It's going to be super dope. And Brian comes back to me and he says, dude, like, you know what? That game's great. I'm like, what do you mean that game's great? And he says, I have something to tell you. I'm like, what do you have to tell me? He's like, the Dreamcast? I was like, yeah. He's like, I imported one from Japan like 3 months ago.
What?
You son of a bitch. I was so mad. I was like, what in the hell? What? I was like, what? You didn't tell me? He was like, I just didn't like, we really want to make it a big deal. I was like, what? I've been super excited about this thing. Like, little did I know that he had it for 3 months and been playing this damn thing. And it was like, it's been a point of contention in our relationship for all that time. And so, yeah, it's been a sore subject. And that's why I don't really ride with him that often, because I'm really like, I'm still disappointed in how that all panned out.
This is a dick. He didn't share his dream.
Yeah. And this is the true story of BKXC. And you guys think he's this nice guy who goes on rides and supports the community? No, he's selfish. All right. And he doesn't share his Dreamcast with anybody.
Was he fat as a kid?
No, no, no. He was always in shape.
Are you serious?
I am too. Look at me. I'm gorgeous.
Yeah.
No, I got a whiskey belly. I was in prime condition in Colorado, by the way. And here's the best part. Like, just riding every day, we'll do it. But like, you can't ride every day. We just can't.
Yeah.
Normal life, unfortunately. And he can. But no, he's ripped right now. Like, I would rub Red Bull on his abs and then smother it in nacho cheese.
Okay, so coming back to the topic for work, I just heard the term cum cutters recently.
Yes.
Oh, that's so bad. I'm sorry, everybody.
Yes.
So,
you want to see something I wired up as engineering, by the way?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, watch this. Boom.
Oh, did you have a little microphone?
For those of you guys listening to the audio podcast, the three of you that are left, I just showed off the fact that I wired up my mic boom. And so when you flip a switch, the red light comes on, indicating that we're live. We're broadcasting live.
It should be when you're live. So I want to know more. I want to know about you and Brian and like the deepest, darkest secret about the BKXC that hundreds of thousands of us are watching. Like, do you have a deep, dark secret, like the biggest dirt on Brian?
Here is one of the best stories about BKXC that you'll never hear anywhere else, because who else knows the guy but me? This guy, who is an absolute legend in the industry, who coined POV content and to this day is still an absolute legend and will always be a legend in the industry. When we were younger, you're never going to believe this story, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now. Sure. When we were younger,